see what I was going to say about that motherfucker.
Man. Yeah. Oh, good grief.
Some of our friends have very alternative views about...
About human trafficking laws?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I don't know if I can claim them as friends if they bang on that with that particular drum.
I'm looking at a real suspect right now.
Yeah. Let me tell you, I cut ties a while back where I was like, yeah, I can't do this. Like, these wavelengths, they are not parallel, so I cannot be a part of this.
Yes.
Because the mindset is not right.
Well, fuck this. I'm not going to say his name, but I will read the tweet.
Yeah.
The tweet says, and I quote, "It's so weird. Andrew Tate is the one that so many are after when there are so many big fish to catch. Literal monsters." I guess human trafficking is not that big of a deal to this guy. Right. "Yet the media is trying to hold him up as an example of the evil in our society. This isn't said as some fan. This is said as someone that can see."
What are you? You need glasses.
Yeah.
If you think you can see,
vision works.
You need to go, like, you know, you can get free low cost, no cost exams too. Like,
yeah.
Taken care of.
Yeah.
Because he's not a small fish. Like,
no.
You big numbers, you know, a lot of people watch. This isn't Cadillac on Mars numbers.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, we affect about like 8 lives over here. We are 3 of them plus our households. You know, it's probably 12 when you really break it down.
This isn't PSXP numbers.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, this is so it's just like, now this is legit, you know, especially when that's the persona he portrays. Andrew Tate, that is.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, you know, but I don't know. It kind of ties into like the what's up with that.
I think it's just really, you know, weird.
Do shit in reverse today.
I think it's just really weird to be like someone who's got arrested and now is on trial for human trafficking to be like, "That's not a big fish."
Yeah.
What are you talking about? How does that make any sense?
It would be, it's a big fish because it's like international news. Like, it's gigantic. Yeah. If one of us gets rolled up for something, guess what? We're not on the news.
No, not at all.
Maybe barely on the local news, but still not really.
Yeah.
They just take us, and that's that. They won't be like, internet sensation Chalfie gets arrested. There'll be none of that.
Yeah. I like how you proclaim yourself to be an internet sensation.
Yes.
Oh, no, what was my... I did have a claim to
California
fame.
Legend.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
California legend.
I remember California podcast legend.
Put respect, full respect on that shit. Stop playing. So when you see that headline, California podcast legend, just know something went wrong. But like I said, you know what, let's just... Number one, welcome everybody to this episode of Cadillac on Mars. Number two, let's get into...
Ooh-wee. What up with that? What up with that? What up with that? What up with that? He said, she said, we said, he said, what up with that?
What's up with people like defending big business or like shit that doesn't involve them? Like, I don't get it. This, like,
it's the weirdest shit to me.
It really is. The concept of like caping for things that will like have absolute, like, no benefit to your life, be it a politician, be it a streamer, or like
Elon Musk.
Can I say what I want to say
the
finally?
Entertainment strike.
Can I say what I want to say about next? Thank you for bringing it up, T. I've been waiting for months to see this about this. All you people who have been telling me and telling everyone else who was clearly right all year about, oh, Elon Musk isn't going to ruin Twitter. He's the best thing to happen to Twitter. He's going to make it better. Suck my dick. Mm-hmm. He has emphatically ruined my favorite social, not only social media site I actually liked.
Right.
That shit is trash now. And the fact that you fuckers, you cocksuckers, are sitting here caping for a billionaire that does not give a fuck about you or anything about you is fucking embarrassing. Literally.
He wrecked Twitter and he's just going to write it off.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, my teaching staff can't even write off their supplies.
That's so wild.
Wow.
Okay, so what? Do you get what I'm saying? Like, wait, what? You know, and then, I mean, because let's throw this in there too. This whole, you know, the people like that are so like, the Microsoft merger is going to benefit gamers. They're going to bring all the games back. Really? They're going to bring the games back? That's what's going to happen? The games that don't make money, they're going to come back? You better believe they are. Yeah, right. You fucking lost your goddamn mind. They are not bringing back Rock Band. They're not bringing back all your fucking fan favorites. It's not happening. You know why? Because they would have brought them back now. If they were making money, they'd be making money. But they're not. So guess what? Wait. They're not coming back.
I can't wait till a certain person hears this podcast.
I mean, listen.
For once, they're not going to be mad at me.
I'm talking to you, Donnie. You're living in a fucking la-la land. That's not going to happen. It's just not. Business is going to keep moving. It's just going to do what it does. Like, yeah, they're going to keep absorbing each other. It's just going to be what it's going to be. I understand that concept of how business works. But at the same time, like, your favorites are not coming back. Maybe one or two, they'll give them a try. They might put them
Let me dream of a DJ Hero 3, motherfucker. Come on, let me dream.
Yeah, two.
I got two.
Yeah, we got two.
I didn't know two even came out.
Yeah. God, two is so good.
It's significantly better than one.
Wow.
Like,
I have one somewhere.
You should go find that. If you got that turntable and a 360 or a PS3 to play with, find you two and just be like, wow, this is great.
I got it for the Wii U. Because you know what it is? I got it off of like what was the thing called? Craigslist, like a long time ago. So like when Craigslist was popping. So I got it then. But what does it say? It's like, it's just this idea that like somehow defending the businesses, like I was gonna say, like the strike taking place in the entertainment industry, they just don't want to pay people. Zero.
Yeah. Like, you people look really goofy trying to defend that shit.
Right, because it's like, who, before you even have something streaming on your screen, before the words even came out, guess what? Someone had to write it. And so all that stuff that comes after the sequels, the spinoffs, you name it, someone had to fucking write that. Just even the concept. And then to be like, listen, I'm going to pay you like $3. And, you know, because I'm taking a risk. I'm taking a risk, buddy. I don't know if it's going to work. But I make 400 times the amount you make in a year.
And the crazy 400? Thing about it is, most of the time, writers don't get the credit for the shit they write.
No.
Exactly. You got to be the writer gets the credit. Writer.
Yeah. This was like a super, super long time ago, but I remember... like working kind of like out in the North Hollywood area. And that's where like a lot of work actually really takes place, is like North Hollywood, Studio City. And I remember being like in coffee shops and just dudes talking about how many like writing projects they're working on at once. Cause you don't just sit and go like, okay, I want to work on writing the next great sci-fi movie. You're working on the sci-fi movie and the love story and the short story, and like you're frying your brain only to have someone buy it.
Yeah.
Once they buy it, then it's like it fucking moves on. But like then you're cut off. And so they got to just keep churning. You don't always make millions off of one piece.
For sure.
Like you make very, very little. So it's not an easy career. That's a career that I think is truly like a passion piece. Like you love fucking writing, but you know you're gonna be broke.
Yeah. So
it's crazy. I mean, I do appreciate the solidarity amongst the artists and whatnot, but damn, the amount of people that I see online that are just like, this is It's the actors being greedy. It's the writers being greedy. It's like, who, wait, what? How? Yeah. How do you figure? Yeah. Because the guy making the most money does the least work.
Yeah.
None of the creative work. All he does is, I got a couple of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I fund the project. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah. It baffles me how quickly people are willing to bend over backwards to appease a billionaire. Or a millionaire, for that matter, that doesn't give a fuck about you. And that goes whether it's people in Hollywood, whether it's in politics. Mm-hmm. Only thing a person has to do is say, hey, this person has a perceived a lot amount of money. They don't necessarily mm-hmm. have to have a lot of money. It just has to be the perception of a lot of money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people will bend over backwards to make sure this person is right about every fucking thing they do, and it must be insane.
Right. Really I mean, does. And it's like, it's the, and to go into the politics world too, it's like the people who still ride for Trump, like they think he's going to do something for it. It's like, man's just going to jail.
Man had 4 years and they do a goddamn thing would make this country fucking worse than it's ever been.
Right. And, but you still, I got a neighbor right behind me, still has this little Trump flag hanging out. There's one down the way. Trump won. I still see the booths outside, the fuck Bidens. And I'm like, do you not pay attention to the news? You got Giuliani out here who's like, oh yeah, we straight up lied. And we put it on those two ladies. Like, they're telling you to your face, we fucking lied. And people are still like, nah, I mean.
But the poll that came out today has him ahead of everybody running in the Republican side of things.
Yeah.
And not by a little bit.
No, he's a lot. By a lot. But I think because the problem with the Republicans, one, I think he really destroyed the party in a way that the others can't compete.
Yeah.
So it's like, fuck, if he's already president once, DeSantis is trying to play the game and he keeps like fucking up.
My man is terrible for one, terrible just in general, a terrible person. Had to fire half his staff.
Yeah.
Had to kind of dial back a couple of videos he done dropped recently. One racist, one homophobic.
Yeah.
Just trash.
Yeah.
A trash fire. And we're better for it.
And he's like, oh, let me try to be Trump 2.0. But it's like, it don't work. But it's
you can't be Trump 2.0 when 1.0 still running.
Exactly.
I'll put it to you like this. You know it's bad down here. When he tried to redistrict the maps, the voting maps down here, and the Republicans, like the Republican run Florida, like, nah, you can't do that. That's racist. when majority Republican Florida, like, nah, you have to fix this. Mm-hmm. That is racist. You cannot make these maps this way.
He is the example of there being too much dip on your chip.
Yeah.
I'm bringing it back.
Yeah, motherfucker, like, nah. You go a little too far with this racism shit.
Whoa, buddy.
Like, you have a problem.
Someone needs to hit him with the white hardcore. Newsflash, buddy.
Newsflash, buddy.
So it's just like, I mean, it just blows my mind. It's like, I've always said for the longest, like a lot of things are just like sports analogies all the time. Just people ride so hard for things that just won't and don't benefit their lives. Zero.
And has no effect on it in the long or short term.
And you typically pay into it. Like, it's just like, what the fuck? I don't know, man. And I think that's what just perpetually gets us stuck in this, is that like, you know, people just get really like, oh, it's you know, if you don't like capitalism, then, you know, you can get out of here. But then it's like, but then you're mad because gas prices are high. But then you're mad because the
part of capitalist system.
Yeah, then you don't understand what capitalism is. Like, fuck you, like you're stupid. You either love it or you don't, or you're just too stupid to understand what the fuck it is. You know, and I think that's what really comes down to too, is people just get hung up on like whatever they're told from wherever they're getting their information from, and it's easy to just sort of follow the line. Well, yeah. I saw it on TikTok. Man, TikTok's not real.
Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because that line, if you don't like how things are going, you can just leave. That's such a bullshit, condescending fucking line, because it doesn't solve no problems. It doesn't handle anything. It actually avoids the problem in general. Yeah. Like, I don't mind it, but you don't mind it, so no. Mm-hmm. That's a pussy thing. That's a pussy way to do things. Like, you can talk things out. You can figure things out. And the way I always look at things is like this. It may not affect you today. It may not affect you tomorrow, but trickle down to economics is a thing. And eventually, it's going to affect something that you care about. And if we don't fix it now, it's going to be too late to fix it later.
Mm-hmm. Straight up. And then I think in a lot of ways, we are already there where it's like, yeah, this ain't getting fixed. This is a broken machine, man. Rome is falling.
I was having that conversation with a family member about this not too long ago, how I was saying to them, Did you see how all these rights, these anti-gay bills got passed in Florida, and black people sat there and let it happen and didn't say anything about it? And now we're starting to see the effects of it. Oh, these bills are affecting African Americans as well.
Yeah.
And now we're saying something about it, but it's now it's like, all right, it's kind of a little late now. We should have stopped and said something when it was happening to the other group. Because now it's happening to us, and we can't fix this. We just have to hope that laws don't get passed, the laws get reversed.
Yeah.
And when we start to see, when we see injustice for one person, we need to stand up and stop it then. If we don't stop at the beginning, we're going to they're going to keep crossing that line. That's with everything.
Man, you want to talk about keep crossing the line? What's up with Ice Cube and Tucker Carlson?
Oh, I listened to, I watched the whole interview. Did you watch it?
It really said nothing.
It was terrible.
Like, man, just the fucking, I was like, you are so out of touch. But the positive of it was to show, like, because it fits into this the context of this conversation is, America is a caste system. Like, they don't live in our reality. We live in this financial reality down here. His world is way fucking different. And so it's like, this is the same thing of him with his plan of, like, he was, you know, he offered, what is it, like, Obama or Biden a plan, but he was going to do a plan with Trump, and then, you know, telling, like, black people don't vote. It's like, yeah, you don't need to vote. You're fucking rich as fuck. You're going to stay the same. But when you tell people don't, you're actually silencing a group. And there's a lot of dumb motherfuckers who are like, but Ice Cube said.
And the funny thing about it is he said that statement without acknowledging that neither party paid any attention to him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At all. He said,
but was only mad at one of them.
Only mad at one of them. But neither party gave him any attention. And I found that fascinating. And then on top of that, there was a part of the interview where I'm like, all right, he really ain't saying nothing. And it was the part, I don't know if you remember this, Chalfie. He was talking about how he's kind of been blackballed and things like that. No, he is in the new Ninja Turtles movie. So if he's blackballed, I might be blackballed too. But he said he's been blackballed, right? And tells the story.
And that's that, like, cancel culture talk. Oh, this fucking, it's too woke. It's cancel culture. I'm canceled. It's like, you're literally on a fucking platform talking about it.
Yes. And this is the funny thing. So Tucker Carlson asked him, like, how you been black? Well, how did it affect you? And he said, yeah, the cast of Barbershop got to go on the Oprah Winfrey show and she didn't invite me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what? And he's like, how did that make you feel? Like, I felt hurt that I went. I was like, you know how old Barbershop movie was? How long ago that came out? He's like,
but I was just canceled in what, 90 whatever? Is that a 90 movie or is that a 2000 movie?
I think it's an early 2000 movie.
Yeah. It's on the internet.
It's in that cuss.
He was so offended that the cast of Barbershop got to go on Oprah Winfrey show and he did not.
Yeah, so dumb. Like, okay, so? Like, you're still holding a grudge on something that happened like fucking at least 25 years ago.
At least 25 years ago.
2002.
Okay.
That was his choice of choosing how he was getting canceled.
Yeah.
That's not canceled.
Like, zero. And that's one person. That's not a whole country. It's like you're doing tours, fool. Like, you're still out here.
Yeah, you have a home basketball league.
Right. So it's just like, no, you're not. You're not canceled, but I would like to go to this line because it was, you know, him reaching out to the politicians, and it's like, this is also the same man who said, I never have dinner with the president, and it's like, look at you now, looking funny in the light, my friend.
Yeah,
a little funny, but it's a different system, it's a different style, you know, just that function, that move is not like us. You know, and I think that's where I think there needs to be more grassroots. There needs to be more people recognizing where they are. Politicians, entertainers, people beyond where, how, like I said, how we function, big business. We need to work around in a sort of revolutionary sense. Like, we need to band together as people, because as we continue to allow ourselves to be fragmented and divided, it's just easy to sort of shift the herd, you know? Yeah.
So. And also, I think we're living in a time, and I'm noticing it more and more, that people are just dwelling on the negative things. Like, you can have 1,000 positive situations, but everybody will just gravitate towards that one negative, and will stay on that. It's infuriating.
Yeah. No, and that's really, really true. But to kind of put the topic to rest, you know, people, just really, like, take care of your own people. Make sure, you know, you and your family are good. Your friends are good. Because, you know, who's not going to take care of you? The people you're paying into. Disney's not going to take care of you.
Damn sure not.
Fox is not going to take care of you. They don't even know who the fuck you are.
The government damn sure will take care of you.
So just no way, no how. But let's kind of, now we got that out of the way. Now we can just start acting a fool. We can get back to business. So first off, I'm going to put Delvin on blast, because this, I take the time and the effort to craft an outline for this show. And every time I do it, it's only been like 3 times. Today's the 3rd. But he keeps saying no. He don't want to complete the task. So I said, yeah, what's up with you? This fool responded with nada.
Yeah, you know.
That's the best you can give me? Man, you're a liar.
No, I'm not really doing much lately, man.
The streets are hungry for us, so tell me. You haven't been giving me the time to do it.
Me? a factual lie.
Prove it.
I have something I can talk about, but that's definitely a so tell me topic, because I don't have to air someone out that I love, and I don't want to do that here.
Oh, no. Right, listen, it's an airing of grievances. It has to go behind the paywall.
They listen to this show, so no, I cannot air them out on this show.
All right. But so, come on, Delvin, give us something. What's up with you, man? What's you been up to?
Everything's been good for the most part. It's been quiet. No, it's nothing too crazy, I think.
How's your grandma? Haven't heard about her in a while.
Oh, did I tell that story about the dog?
No, haven't heard about the dog. Last I heard was, like, she was in the hospital a long while back, and then
she's good. She got to have her surgery later on. She had to call the doctor to set that up, but everything else, that's good. So I didn't tell the story.
Is this the expensive chihuahua story?
Yes.
Okay, I haven't heard it. I don't know it. I just know you guys mentioned it.
So let me tell what happened. So, you know, my grandmother comes here every day. We work together. Anybody who listens to Cadillac or Boss knows this by now. Mm. So we at work. At my grandmother's house is my little cousin. And my grandmother had the habit, because she had this chihuahua for like over 10 years, something like that, had the habit of just letting the chihuahua go out in the front yard, go pee, and he'll go walk in the neighbor's yard and go pee and come back over. This is the thing. And I always told her, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Chihuahuas are expensive. One day, someone's going to fucking take the dog and keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
So sure enough, while we're at work, my cousin left the chihuahua out the front door. The dog never comes back.
And got scooped up.
So my grandmother leaves work, looking for the dog, can't find a dog. I get off work. I go looking for the dog. I can't find a dog. Nowhere. The dog's fucking gone.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this part. This is pretty funny. I'm walking the neighborhood, because I drove around the neighborhood. Then I start walking the neighborhood to see if I can see the dog or see if somebody had a dog in their house, something like that. As I'm walking the neighborhood, right, I saw a pet rabbit just like on the sidewalk eating grass.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the weirdest thing. It wasn't on a leash. It was just a guy in his car while the rabbit was sitting by the car eating grass.
Just chilling. This is what I do.
Yeah, and it's not, and when I say, like, okay, the car is parked, you know, like the median by the street.
Mm-hmm.
The car is parked there. The rabbit is right next to the car, right near the street, just eating grass. I'm like, that is fucking weird as shit.
No, it definitely is.
So I asked the guy, like, that's your rabbit? Like, yeah, you just sitting there eating grass. I'm like, all right, I guess so. So I walk around the neighborhood, don't find a dog. Now she's uncontrollably sad, stuff like that. She's heartbroken. And my first reaction was, what I wanted to say was, didn't I tell you not to do this shit?
Yep.
I want to be petty pendergrass so bad.
Yeah, like, I told you.
I told you stop doing this goddamn shit. But I couldn't do that. So she comes to work the next day. She's all sad and despondent and stuff like that. And So I said, I'll go out the next day and look for the rabbit, look for the dog again. I talked to my girlfriend, and she's like, I tell her what happened, and she's like, a friend of mine is actually selling baby chihuahuas. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah. I'm like, how much are they?
Yeah. You're like, give me some details here.
So I Googled the price of chihuahuas, right? I want to find out how much a baby chihuahua costs, like a purebred chihuahua.
Mm-hmm.
They're like thousands of dollars.
Yes.
They are very expensive. So I asked my girl, she asked the guy, $500. I'm like, now I have a choice. Do I go spend $500 on a goddamn dog for my grandmother to make her happy and kind of like, you know, because she stays in the house by herself for the most part. Yes, she's here most of the day, but she stays in the house by herself. And, the dog helps her in the ways because, you know, at night, dogs are obviously bark because it's a chihuahua. Chihuahua's barking everything. If somebody's at the door or something like that, so it keeps her alert. It makes her happy. The chihuahua that she has is an older dog anyway, but, you know, it was her dog. So I said, you know, I asked my girl, can you go down to 400? He said, yes. But come
down to 400, huh?
100, yeah. So he was like, yeah, but you got to come get the dog now. My girl's, and she's the guy who owned a dog stayed near my girl. That is an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half in traffic away from me. So I had to drive way down there. And, of course, I went and got my girl. And my girl's like, oh, you got to buy stuff for the dog and all that stuff. I'm like, God damn, so I'm already like $400 in the hole. Now I got to buy stuff for this little fucker.
Yep, because, once you buy it, then you're like, okay, we need this. We need the food. We need all the things.
Exactly.
You can't get the old bed, you got to get a new bed.
Yeah, that's exactly what I had to do. I had to go do all that stuff. Buy the bed, buy all this stuff. And then I went to go pick up the dog. And there was two dogs. There was two chihuahuas. The guy like, you want to buy both of them? I'm like, fuck no.
Now, what type of chihuahuas were these? Were these your regular, like, short hair chihuahuas or were they long hair?
Yeah, short hair chihuahuas.
Okay.
They're 4 month old chihuahuas.
Okay.
So he gives me the dog. There were two of them. One came to me immediately and one ran away. So I guess the one that came to me immediately is the one we're taking.
Won the lotto. Yeah.
So.
That one showed some initiative and
some moxie.
Yeah. So I said, all right, I guess you're going to have a new home. You stay here with this. Mm-hmm. The other one stay here with you. Peace out. You're like, you don't want to buy both of them? I'm like, fuck. No. Absolutely not.
That's how I look back at the others. Like, so you get for sleeping.
Yeah.
You guys keep sharing a bed. I'm about to go relax.
Exactly. So.
He finds out living with an old lady, too. He's like, ooh, shit.
Exactly. Even better.
Wet food.
Even better. Yeah. Like, so I take the chihuahua to our house, and she's ecstatic. She's super happy. She's losing control. And she can't believe I bought her a dog and stuff like that. She asked me how much the dog costs. I'm like, I'm not telling you how much the dog costs. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about that. It's your dog. Have fun with the dog.
Yeah,
keep it out front, damn yard.
Keep out. I said, I damn sure said that. Keep the dog out the goddamn yard. Keep the dog in the house. Mm-hmm. This dog costs a lot of money, and I'm gonna be very pissed off. By the dog.
On a leash.
Yeah, like so. She was ecstatic, and then she sent me to go get more shit for the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't end up getting home that night till 11 o'clock. Yeah, like 11:30. So I was tired as hell from that. Then the next day, this is how I knew she was having fun with the dog.
Mm-hmm.
She usually gets here like around 9:30, come to work. 9:30 comes and goes. It's now 10:30, and I'm like, and she calls me. She's like, oh, I was looking for my wig. I'm like, grandma, it's 10:30. You're playing with that damn dog. Just stay home. It's okay.
Yeah.
Just stay
and
play with the dog.
Which is also very like nice and heartfelt too, because it's like, I mean, your grandma. Like, chill. Yeah. Have fun. Like, Delvin's got the office. You're all right. Take a day
exactly.
off.
Exactly. And you know,
like, and also, like, just enjoy the dog. Like, if you're having fun with a puppy, have the fun.
That's exactly what I told her. I said, I'm happy. If I knew all this time, all it took for me to get your ass to stay home was to buy you a goddamn new dog, I'd have did this years ago.
The Ben came out the pocket, damn it.
I'd have been came out the pocket and bought this damn dog. So, that week that happened, she came to work 3 days that week. And each day she came in at almost 11 o'clock and left at like 1 because she wants to get back home to the dog. And she's super excited about it. And I'm happy that I had the money at the time to get the dog. Fortunate enough that I had that much money in my pocket where I can get the dog. But yeah, she loves the dog. The dog, she named the dog after her son who passed away, my uncle.
Okay.
So the dog means a lot to her.
You know what you should, what might be nice to get your grandma is one of those little like BarkBox subscriptions.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Because it comes with like, you can get various forms of it, but it'll come with treats and a toy, like a monthly subscription thing. Might be nice for her, something to open, something new for a little dog,
That might be cool. Yeah, that's a good idea, Chalfie.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah.
I might do that.
Because then she'll just be like, oh, shit, we got a new box. Look at his new toy.
Yeah, she might dig that.
Yeah, and then like I said too, I believe they come with like treats, so then it's like one less thing to go and get. So you could just be like, oh shit, we got some new snackies.
And she could just sit there and play with the dog.
Exactly, until one of the snackies makes the dog's stomach upset. Then you got doo-doo all over the house and you got to go clean it up.
Well, yeah, he doing that anyway.
Yeah, he's like, hey.
I'm like you just, I'm like, you just like, fuck training this dog, huh? You just not going to train him or nothing. She's like, I try to train him, I try to discipline him. And I'm like, let me see how you discipline him.
Yeah.
Oh, real. You shouldn't do that. Like, what the fuck is that?
That's not training.
I'm not training shit. I'm not doing anything.
And that's white people discipline.
Yeah.
Listen, Carter.
Exactly.
Buddy, I need you to not do that anymore.
Exactly. Write down white people discipline currently as the show title front runner.
That's,
okay.
That's exactly what it was. Yeah.
White people discipline. That committed right now, so we don't.
When
forget
I don't it. Write it down, I usually text and say, "Hey, what do we say this show?
Yeah, yeah. So we gonna try to be better.
White people discipline.
Got it.
Noted. Let's shift it up because T tried to try some bullshit too and say on bro, his, "What's up with you?" Absolutely nothing, which is kind of nice.
It is all vibes. I fuck with it, man. My lady got a new gig, so she worked back in the office. My son got a job, so he worked in a warehouse. Mm-hmm. My kid is still here, but start school here in about just a little less than a month. It's vibes, man. I'm just very relaxed. I have nothing going on. It's very nice. I've done some things, and we're going to discuss that as time goes on. But right now, nada.
Now I got to say this. If you don't listen to Cleveland's longest running podcast, Taste Crunchy and Milk, they did a little offshoot.
That was a great episode.
The most recent podcast that features your youngest child, right?
Yeah, it's my son. My youngest child of two, and my big sister.
Yeah, and just one like. Your kid, I text you on it because I was just like, this kid's wit is like fucking killing me. Yeah. It was on the cusp of like, she's not being disrespectful. Sorry, misgender.
No worries.
Just like, it was like on the cusp, but also really hilarious, but not being hurtful. Just, you could tell you guys have the banter. You know what I mean? And so it was just like, it was fantastic. And then to hear your sister's voice on there, and like, it just, you could feel the connection between everybody and everyone really like enjoying themselves, enjoying their time there. I was really frustrated when you guys said that people just be stopping to take pictures in New York without respecting other space. That shit drives me fucking bananas.
Yep.
So I was just like, oh, I hate being like in any type of situation where there's people and someone stops, where I'm like, do you think you're in an empty fucking room right now?
They do, because everybody's a star of their own damn movie. And so they forget that there's a lot of NPCs around them.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't understand. Because you don't. Because I bet you I stopped somewhere and took a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you I did. And stopped saying somebody was probably walking along and was like, this motherfucker. But I try to be good about it. I actually try to be like, let me get a quick, okay, am I around me? Yeah. All right, pitch snap.
You know, it's like crossing the street. Look left, look right. Okay, we're good. Go. Yeah.
So I try to be respectful, but that don't mean I probably was in all instances. So
yeah. No, but that was like, people should really listen to that. They should listen to all episodes. Episode. But this one was a lot of fun.
And it's wild short because T didn't push record initially.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, that's minutes. What that was. Okay.
Yeah, I think he says it up front.
I do. But we talked for a good 20, 30 minutes, and I was like, I definitely didn't push record because that red light ain't on. So I was like, so let's do it again right quick. And that means we had less time because we had to go take my sister back to the city to go catch her bus back to Virginia.
Yeah. So. Okay. And then you guys had some delicious Korean chicken.
We did. And I'm going to that same spot now here again because I can't help myself. Me and my lady are going down to Columbus. Our anniversary is Friday. So we're going down to Columbus this weekend because her friends are in town visiting some family. So she's like, well, we go see, you know what I'm saying, these folk. And I'm like, yeah, it's fine. I go, but you know, if we're going to be down there, we're going to eat some Korean BB.Q. No, BBQ. Wait, what is it? Is it BB.Q? Yeah, it's BB.Q chicken. It's a Korean chicken spot that we found in Detroit. But of course, they had
it's a chain?
Yeah, it's a chain.
All right, see if we got it out here.
So if you got around your way, please take advantage.
I don't know if I've ever asked you this before. Have you ever done the Ohio fucking, what is it, like chili over spaghetti?
No. God, no. I want y'all, I quite literally just told a friend of mine this, my home person, Ash, because they identify as non-binary, and who was just telling me how they once upon a time came down to Ohio for some dude and how they would never do it again. And I was like, I'm telling you, right? I go, where was you at? And they said Columbus. And I'm like, I got to tell you, and I say this all the time, Northeast Ohio, just carve it out. It's so different from the rest of the state. And not just like, oh, it's so different. It is, we vote different. Relatively unionized up this way, you know what I'm saying? We do lots. We have a lot of union employees, steel and car manufacturing. It's more people of color up here. Although Columbus does have a decent amount of a different decent range of people. We have different grocery store chains up here. Mm-hmm. The rest of the state has like Kroger and stuff. We have Giant Eagles are like main grocery store. It's so different that it's like, no, we not eating chili on spaghetti up here. It's not even, oh my God. The very idea of it is and that's a Cincinnati thing. It's literally called Cincinnati style chili.
Specific to them.
Yeah, okay. a super thin, ugh, everything about it, gross.
Let me say this real quick. I must be driving with my fucking eyes closed because I have never in my life seen the BB.Q chicken.
Yeah. That is feet away from your crib, ain't it?
There, I just looked through the list right now. There is a smooth 15 within 10 minutes from my house in locations where I'm like, yeah, I was just there Friday. I was just there Sunday. Like,
wow.
Like, oh, there's a lot of these motherfuckers. Like, there's one less than 4 minutes from my house.
Like, bruh, they, I don't know.
I heard you guys talking about it, man. I was like, man, I gotta get on this chicken.
Sure, if it is if every location will have the as nice a service as I've had, but the two I've been to, there's one in Detroit and that's one in New York City. Amazing staff, real, you know, own their shit, get everything out to you in real short time, real good food. I dig
know.
It.
I don't know, might be a little bit suspect because I feel like when the chicken is served with anger, the anger flavors the chicken.
Now, we have been fucked up with that kind of bullshit, man. We've been lying to this whole time. You don't make chicken good, motherfuckers will like making chicken.
Maybe that's it. maybe I only know anger chicken. I don't know love chicken.
Yeah, so, need some love chicken.
Change your fucking life. No, Korean fried chicken is so good. Hold if on, you can't,
I'm gonna
if
put
you
can't anger go to, chicken down as an alternate title.
If you can't go to BB.Q chicken, find a banchan if they're around your way. Their shit is a hitting as well. So
yeah, there are so many less than 3 miles from my house.
Dig it.
So like I said, I must be driving with some fucking serious blinders because I'm like, okay, yep, I was here.
Not I'm trying to, you know, dox your ass, but where's K-Town at in relation to your spot, man? Because I'm always hearing about K-Town out there.
Give the address.
K-Town is it's more downtown LA.
Okay.
So it's maybe like it's about 20 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
A real 20 minutes or LA 20 minutes that's really like, you know, an hour.
Depends on the day.
See?
if I were to drive right now, I'd get there in about 25 minutes.
Okay. Okay.
But if I left an hour ago, I'd get there in 45 minutes. I always tell the story when Sean was out in California. He was like, oh, yeah, I see you in a little bit. It says you're only like 20 miles away. So I'll see what, like 25, 30 minutes? And I was like, about an hour and a half. He's like, no, man, the map says. I was like, no. The time to mile ratio in California is it's an anomaly. It does not function how other places do. It's its own thing. But okay, I'm gonna try that, man. I'm gonna put it down, that bb.q, now that I know that it's local. Fuck, because I seriously thought, I was like, oh, it must be like something Midwest, East Coast type of shit.
But you the bulk, it was just like rice cakes and like fish cakes and a little hot ass sauce that's real, real good. Get you the Gangnam style wings or the soy garlic joints. I wouldn't feel them in some other ones. And just have a good time, man. My kid loved the cheeselings. So, I mean, maybe you will too, but I didn't want a sweet ass wing. And that's exactly what that shit was described as to me. And then I never got a chance to try them because my sister and my kid fucked them all up. But.
You're like, can I just lick a finger or something? I just need to know. Well, I mean, and that also leads into your good to great too. You did mention that, you know, NYC with your kid and your big sis was a hit.
Yeah, my kid just turned 16, and I want to say earlier this year, maybe even late last year, I was like, turn 16 soon. What do you want to do? That way, I can begin preparing. If it's going to be a big party, I can start doing what I need to do to get that to happen. If it's whatever, we can make it happen. And kid said, I want to go to New York City, and I was like, fair. I will see what I can do to try and make that happen. And big ups to my big sister and time and effort and the sale of a little bit of stock.
All right. How did your sister end up linking up? Like, how did she get in the mix?
She was like, so my big sister got to connect on hotels. Mm-hmm. So whenever I'm going somewhere and I need this hotel, I can holler to her, and through her girl, she can give me usually a friends and family discount on a hotel. And usually it's well worth it. Like we our hotel in Detroit was like $90, $80.
Oh yeah, I remember you guys saying, yeah.
Yeah, it was dumb ridiculous. It was a good price. But she was like, I'm gonna come with y'all. And I just wasn't hearing that or believing it, but then like sure shit she did.
Yeah.
And she ended up covering the hotel. She's like, I got the hotel, don't worry about it.
Yeah, nice.
Thank you, big sis.
Great.
Hold it down for your boy.
Yeah.
Cause like I said, I ended up having to rent a car. I was like, we were considering flying in, but then flying in and then riding to wherever in the city, because whatever. It's just, it's way more, the money starts to stack.
So yeah, that's where you start to do that, like, cost to time ratio. Exactly. Where it's just like, okay, I can get there in an hour, but it's going to cost me like $500.
Exactly.
Or I rent a car, but it takes me 5 hours.
Yeah, seven, but. You know, it wasn't bad. And it's all, and it turned out to be just one, like almost a straight shot. You get on 80 East and it takes you almost all the way to New York from here.
Yeah.
So like, I didn't have to even go, you know, do too much discovery. It's like, I had to get over 280 going East and then gone.
It's not like you were trying to do a GTA getaway where you're like, okay, now I got to hop over here. I got to go right on this.
Yeah. And this is my second time in New York. I went 2012, 2013. Can't recall. One of those years. And that one, it was me and my homegirl, Danielle, and we both love this band, Cannibal Ox, hip-hop group, down with Definitive Jux, The Cold Vein. Go listen to it, y'all.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they, at that point in time, were having a reunion show somewhere in Brooklyn. And I was like, yo, and that's one of the first things me and Danielle bonded over was Cannibal Ox. And I was like, yo, we got to go, right? And she's like, okay. I was like, yo. So... we drove all the way to New York, got to her homeboy's house, I slept on the couch. I think she slept on the couch or in a chair, woke up like 4 or 5 hours later, explored the city, hung out, drove to Brooklyn to go see the show. that never really happened like it was supposed to, because Cannibal Ox was like the last people coming out, and they barely came out before we was like, hey man, we got to go back to Ohio. So it was like in, out, maybe 30 hours total. And all that, some of that, and a good 14 of that is travel. So I've been to New York, but not really been to New York. This time I got to have some time in the city, and it was real nice. And I enjoyed that. Either. Yeah, bro. And so now it's like, now that I kind of got an idea of, well, it's real easy to get there. Staying in Jersey was the play, because there's a train right there. So you just hop the train into the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, dope. So it's not too expensive. Everything's there. Everything.
Yeah.
And so I've knocked out, you know, saying the two things I needed to get knocked out. I felt like I need to get knocked out in my life: Statue of Liberty, Empire State Builder. So everything else is just like, let's go wherever the fuck you want to go. So I'm down, man. You say it. You let me know. we'll do it again, bro. I'm all about that. Plus, I just love travel, man. I'm all about that life. Yeah. So
good. But now, Delvin, you ain't got nothing on your what's good to great. You spend time with your lady?
Yeah, this week we're going to spend time together, probably. Most likely, yeah.
All right.
Without getting too so, tell me, how is it?
Yeah, that's what to say. How's she treating you?
Oh, it's still great. Still really good.
Love to hear it.
Yeah.
Still a really solid relationship. We have a good time together. Everything's good. Oh, I guess I can tell this cryptic thing that I think I told T about, too. Remember a few months back, Chalfie, when I told you I lost a lot of money?
Yes.
I finally got it back today.
Did you? Oh shit.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, because that was real fucked up.
Yeah.
The way that went down.
Yeah, it was. I would live it. So
man. And that was also a significant amount of money. That wasn't like, damn, I lost $40.
Yeah. It was
This is, I could buy a pretty decent used car.
Yeah, it was. I might commit a felony over this shit. Right.
Money. I am unaware of this. So wherever this needs to go, y'all let me know so I can hear this story.
Yeah, I was.
He told me offline, but we'll share it with you. Yeah, I'm happy for you. That's a big one, because I know you were being told, oh, this might take like might be till the end of the year before he's
2024.
Yeah,
bruh.
Yeah,
they finally sent it through, so I'm happy. I have extra money now that I didn't expect. Just happened today, and I was looking at, and I'm thinking about it. I was looking at, you guys probably have seen this before, the robot Optimus Prime.
Yes.
That robot Grimlock.
Well, I was about to say, the Grimlock wild.
The Grimlock is like $1,500. I'm not doing that.
But both of them are sick, man.
They are. The Prime is like $700.
Yeah.
I feel like I can splurge and get that.
Okay.
Ooh, I should put that on the list.
I'm greatly considering that.
That's nice. Yeah. I've seen the Optimus in action, and I'm like, just the way it functions, too. Like, when it's transforming, it doesn't look like whack, where it's just like, oh man, this is like, it's like the fucking Iron Man helmet that like switches open. It's like, that shit is clean, like real, real good. And then, but like how T brought up the Grimlock, fuck man, when it transforms, I was like, because when it was in dinosaur mode and he tells it to transform, I was like, it's gonna look so dumb. And then I was like, oh, I'm dumb, because this shit is dope.
So let me explain. I want to look this up so I can give people an idea of what it is. For those who don't know, Hasbro has this like premium, they're making these premium actual robot transformer toys. They're about like 10 inches tall. And the cool thing about them is they're voice activated and they transform automatically by themselves. They can drive by themselves. They can talk. They can do commands, that give speeches and everything like that. They are very interactive. These are some of the most interactive robotics you can possibly buy.
Yeah.
So it actually moves like an actual transformer. And they're expensive. Like I said, the Optimus Prime one is The first one with Optimus Prime, it's $700 without the trailer, which I think is another $700.
Okay.
Then they have the one that's based off the movie Optimus Prime, that's also $700, which looks pretty cool, actually. It looks really good. It looks like the one from the Transformers movie Rise of the Beast that just came out. And now they also released the Bumblebee one.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is a smaller one. Well, I think it's like $400.
Damn, so you can get an Optimus and a Bumblebee.
Possible.
For less than the Grimlock.
Yeah, for less than the Grimlock. And then they just released the Grimlock one. That's like $1,500. These all look very impressive. They transform in detail. They talk. They respond to each other. They activate my voice commands. It comes in this big-ass luxury box. They're amazing looking.
You can tell that these were put together by people who grew up with Transformers because it's all the ways we wanted our Transformers to function.
Exactly. Yeah.
And, you know, you wanted to tell your Transformer, you wanted to say roll out and shit was going to happen, you know?
Yeah, and I kind of feel like this might be my only chance to get one. Like, this, like, you know, money don't be coming up. You don't just run up on money this often.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're like, I can actually buy something cool for myself. And this is the one moment I can. I'm kind of like,
this is a treat yourself moment.
Yeah, so I guess this is kind of like,
I mean, you already got your granny and chihuahua. You got to get yourself something.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that's the universe looking out for you. I'm saying you came out of pocket for your grand, make sure she was happy. And the universe is like, hey, oh, here, man. Yeah. Let me toss this back your way.
Yep. That was the karmic boomerang. It was like, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah,
you did your part. You went to look for the dog. You gave your time and effort. You got the dog. You got the items. All right. Here we go. Got you back. Man, yeah, that's good, though. You should do that for yourself.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it.
On my end, let's see. My good to great has actually been, you know, a lot of times my wife and I will go out. We go have like cocktails and stuff like that. We've been getting all of our tiki drinks on and stuff like that. But recently, we really like shifted gears. And something that's been really nice is we've pretty much been just like touring the independent coffee shops of Long Beach. And so it kind of started with one that's just down the way called Wolf's Brew, and I really, really like the coffees they put together. And so it's like super delicious. And then it was like, well, let's try this one over here, and let's try this one on this side of town. And then we went to one called Good Time, which is the whole, like, you want to talk about a fucking vibe, this place is fully like chilling. Like, it's not pretentious at all, like how some coffee shops are. But we saw this poster, and it's basically like a few of the coffee shops. It's like 9 coffee cups, like travel coffee cups, you know, but it's all the local coffee shops that we had been to. So I was like, oh damn, this is kind of cool. Like, these guys, because you can tell a lot of the drinks are like shared in a sense, where it's like, oh, this one has a honey oat latte, this one also has a honey oat latte type of thing. So I was like, oh, this must be some fucking coffee shop syndicate. But we've just been like hitting them up throughout the city, which one feels a lot better than like drinking all day or drinking all night. Like, we can go get a coffee and be like chill and kind of enjoy the sort of ambiance, and then compare the way they do their coffees as well. And then if there's a time where like Gavin's out, we can take Lucy with us, and then not, I mean, you can't take her to a fucking bar, you know? So it's like, all right,
I mean, you could, but you'd be a real piece of shit.
Right, exactly. I mean, like, yeah, dude, she just stands away from the bar. But no, so we can like take her with us too, and then we just kind of just chill out. And it also gets us to enjoy different like portions of the city, or just even like there's this one bakery, because we also try to find places that are like Latin owned or just really like accepting of like the community, you know?
Yeah.
And so there's this one bakery called Gusto's Bakery, and they do a spin on a lot of the like Mexican pastries, like the conchas and stuff like that. And instead of just using like your regular, you know, fucking bread, they do it all like sourdough breads. And at first I was like, oh, that's going to be interesting. But you know, the sourdough has a little bit of that like sweetness and a tang to it. Man, as fucking Mexican breads go, that I was like, oh, this put it in a new level. Like, I don't know if I can go back to like the traditional, because these shits, like, they're still so moist and spongy. And then you add in like the flavorings, and I was like, fuck, Gusto's Bakery is the hit. So that's just been really, really nice. And then Jessica and I just get to hang out. You know, we get to chill, and it's super easy. And like I said, it's not like a whole big, like, okay, we got to get dressed up and we're going to go out and we got to get someone to watch the kids, or Gavin's got to do his thing. It's just like, we can go, we can hang out for an hour. We get some time to ourselves to kind of chill out. Like I said, kind of cruise the city. So that's been a really good, really good, good to great, getting to kind of explore the city and see new different things. And then just getting to like hang out like one-on-one with my wife, which is like not an always easy thing to do. Yeah. Which along the way as well, there's a record shop locally that I don't know if I talked about last time. I'm not a super big fan of it. It's a really big, really popular. When I say big, it's like well-known. Yeah. And I'm not talking about Amoeba. I actually really like Amoeba a lot. Those guys are cool over there. But the one in my town, they're real jerky. You know, it's high fidelity. Where they're just like, you like that? Nah. Whereas we went to this place, and it's called Toxic Toast Records. And it's one guy who curates the whole thing, and his curation is on fucking point. And his prices are fantastic. Where, like, I was looking, because I've been wanting to pick up some Kid A, some Radiohead vinyls. Yeah. And like, he has Kid A on sale, or he's selling it for like, I want to say it was like $35. And then Discogs, when I looked for the same version, was like nothing less than $50. And his thing is like, and he's real cool and real knowledgeable. Like, even when Jessica and Lucy were with me, and they were like talking about the music and, you know, really getting to know the guy. And he talked about how he fell in love with the music just because he would go to Japan and just buy a bunch of albums and bring it back. That's and dope. Next to the place, he has like a little concert venue. Like, I have been there before to see Mega Ran, and that was like a really good show. So it was just like I said, as you kind of dig into the city, you realize there's a lot of gems in there. We just drive by them so often. So it's almost the contrast of like the opening of the What's Up With That. This is like, now support the people close to you. Like, because that's what brings your town and your city some character, you know? So shout out to Toxic Toast. That's a great fucking record shop. If you're ever in the Long Beach area, definitely go there.
That's dope.
Not a huge hip hop section, I will say that, but
I always see that. And then I always feel like I always feel some type of way about that. It is the format that kept vinyl alive.
Yeah.
And it seems wildly disrespectful to not have it in your shops.
I do agree with you. And I think this is where record shops make a huge mistake. I think you have to be a true like hip hop head to get it.
I was going
to
say that.
Because they tend to, you will find Kendrick Lamar, you will find Kanye, like you will find all the big names, but yeah, you're not going to find the Canox. You're not going to find like a lot of like the essence of hip hop in the albums. And so that makes it really hard. Though the place I haven't been to is VIP. I should see what their like collection is like. I will say this, Amoeba's got a great fucking hip hop section. Like, their section is really, really good. But so I think hip hop takes a little more curating in a sense. Whereas like, I feel like the rock section tends to be more on the nostalgia, you know? Like, oh shit, I used to listen to this, let me buy it, you know? So that's been the thing over here. But let's kind of move along to the what are you guys playing? What you been playing lately?
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. It has not stopped. Can't stop, won't stop. But I also figured I'd tell y'all about, like I said, I am actually at the point where if I were so inclined, I could go and beat that game. But okay, I want to do all the shrines, and I'm 25 shrines short. So I want to knock out all the rest of the shrines, and then I'll go fight Ganon. I have the Master Sword. I know the sad story of it. Jesus. And so I'm all ready to go. And like, literally all I got to do is head to where I need to head to and get on that. But otherwise, I am not been playing too much of anything. I've been playing this game on my phone, Royal Match. You have seen this game advertised on any game you played on mobile. It's that game where you're rescuing the king.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real game. I fucking love it.
Yeah, your kid was clowning you.
It's all good. I play that shit and I play it a lot, and I love it. It's a mesh three, but you can play. Basically, you are on a team with people, and if your team is active, they'll keep you in lives the whole time. Basically, you can request lives, and you request them like five at a time. And if, like I said, as long as your team is doing right and is an active team, you'll always have lives, so you don't have to do anything, otherwise, unless you're so inclined and just want to, pay some money. And I have. I put some dough on it because, like I said, I enjoy it enough. And whenever I enjoy a mobile game enough, I will put a couple of shekels on it. No worries there.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I've been playing Pokemon Go again, and it's a delight. It was a community day this past Sunday, and that was real fun. I always try to go out and collect one of each evolution of a Pokemon shiny, because that's what it is in those games. They used to do the shinies, and in this case, there's a bonus evolution. So there's four. I needed four shinies to make myself happy, and I ended up with like five. So I was like, nice. Straight, like good shit. So yeah, man, I enjoy Pokemon Go. Plus, it kind of keeps me walking, which is nice to do. You know what I'm saying? Get out there and stay on your stroll. So yeah,
that's cool. That game still prospering.
It is. What's funny is it's so good that Niantic keep trying to release other games and nobody get down with they other shit, and they just had to fire a bunch of people recently because of it.
Wasn't they making it like a Harry Potter game, some shit like that?
They did, and it was whack. And
oh, it came out.
It came out,
and then grand opening, grand closing,
like really that fast. Like what was it? Like 8 weeks, and then they were like, "Well,
that one, yeah."
And people were buzzing over it when it was first announced. I was like, oh, this is going to be amazing. And it was just like, it doesn't have the same. Because isn't there an NBA type of game coming out too?
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Again, these things don't fit that. Pokemon works. And their original game, Ingress, it works. The system they have in place, it works for those IPs. It does not work for Harry Potter. It does not work for whatever else.
Yeah, because it works. Say, like for Pokemon is literally catch them all.
Yeah, walk around, catch Pokemon in the wild.
Yeah,
you've just made that. You've made a game ideal that has been around for 25 some odd years work.
Yeah.
So they played themselves, and they really just need to just and it makes so much money, but they want to, of course, because capitalism. They want more money.
Yeah.
Instead of like you've made plenty.
Mm-hmm.
But alas. That's just not how they roll.
And they still play. Like, there was a point where I did slow down, like, within the last year or so.
Always do. I'll take time away, and then I'll come right back around. Like, here I am playing Pokemon Go again.
And I do feel it needs a new sort of, like, worm on the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Or also to be a little bit clearer. Like, I didn't know about the, was it catching butterflies? Okay, so the face you're making right now, I don't know what the fuck this is. And so I was in a staff meeting the other day, and one principal, we kind of talked about gaming and shit. And then he was like, hey, real quick, do you have this Pokemon? So we're sitting there kind of trading. And then he's all, oh, do you do like the butterfly things? And I was like, the fuck are you talking about? He's like, there's like butterflies and bugs. And if you pin someone's postcard, it's a whole secondary like evolution thing. That's another thing that you catch. And I was like, I didn't know about this. I was like, I always fucking just get rid of the postcards and shit. He's like, no, you're supposed to pin them and do a thing. But when he explained it to me, I was like, this is convoluted. So I need to like YouTube it. That, and they need to put more Pokemon in rotation. Like, I do not want to see another fucking Pidgey. I do not want to see, like, I'm just seeing the same ones over and over and over again, where it's like, come on.
Much like the real game.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It, straight up, though, I will say, because I forgot to mention this when we went to Cancun, I needed the, I can't think of the name, I'm pulling it up right now. But I did get to clear out another region because one of the Pokemon I had seen nearby, I had never found it. Like, it was one of those, you know, where it's like grayed out. It's like you've seen it, but you don't have it.
Yeah.
And so that when we were in Cancun, I saw it and I was like, yes, it was the Heracross.
Yes. So
I caught the Heracross in Cancun and completed the Johto region. I was like, yeah, fucking... if there was anything that was a positive out of this trip, the trip was a good trip, but you know, a little cherry on top was completing that package. So it's like, I got all Kanto, got all Johto. The next region where people be hoeing, I need a few, I need three from there. I still need the Torkoal.
I wish we could trade. I can just send you a goddamn Torkoal. I have so many because they did that shit at an event at one point in time.
Yeah.
You still can't trade yet?
You can trade, but you have to be in proximity to one another.
You can't long distance trade. Tropius, I need.
Same.
And Huntail.
I got a Huntail. I think I have several Huntails.
These sound like strippers.
Yeah, right. Well, the Huntail too is because you can evolve the Clam Pearl, but it's like random.
That still sounds like a stripper too.
Hey, you know what? Throw some dollars, man. Throw some dollars. What about you, Delvin? What have you been playing, man?
I finished. I took a break from Tears of the Kingdom for a quick second to play and finish Oxenfree 2, which I enjoyed. I don't think it's had the same staying power and magic that the first one did, but it's fine. It's a fine story. If you play the Oxenfree games, you kind of know what you're getting into. Slow pace, story based. You're not going to be fighting monsters or nothing like that. You're going to be kind of solving puzzles, things like that. And it's pretty much that.
All right.
I just got a shiny Amora. You just had me open this game up to look at if I had a Huntail, and I just cracked a shiny Amora.
T cracking in real time over here.
There you go.
Let me see, for me, I do feel real bad because I enjoyed what I had played of Tears of the Kingdom from when I told you guys a while back, and then never fucking went back to the game because I finished whatever I finished, and then just really got back into Call of Duty and Fortnite. Just like, I think I just needed that sort of like palate cleanser of just like shooting shit without having to follow a story or anything like that. And then playing Sleeping Dogs on the Steam Deck. Like, that's been a lot of fun. So
Sleeping Dogs plays great on the Steam Deck.
And I think I'm like 3/4 done. So once I wrap up Sleeping Dogs, then I can get back into Zelda. Because I do feel like it's one of those games that I can't be playing like fucking three games right now. I just got to play that one.
Exactly.
So I'm kind of dying down on Call of Duty. Fortnite, I'm loving it because it also has the, because Futurama's back, they did the tie-in. So it's like you can get Bender, Fry, Leela, and a bunch of other stuff. So just going around shooting people as my favorite Mexican robot, Bender Bending Rodriguez.
Bender Benny Rodriguez puts respect on his name. Yes.
He is hecho in Mexico. So I'm like, you know, this has been a lot of fun. So I've really been enjoying it. And then on the watching end, This Fool, the second season is back. So far I've only watched two episodes and it was fun. I really, really enjoyed it. And then wrapped up The Bear. Fuck, man, the acting and the writing on that shit is phenomenal. Like,
I haven't watched that one yet.
Oh, dude, you're missing out. Like, they really, and this, I like this season because it took time to invest in the other characters. And, what's his name? Is it Marcus? Is that the one who does the pastries? I don't remember.
I have no clue.
They send him, like, out of the country to, like, Denmark to learn how to do. And so he has an episode to himself. And that episode is fucking art. Like, it's really well done. So, super enjoyed that. Watching Futurama. Actually catching up because I realized, like, you know, it's come back and gone so many times that I'm, like, 4 seasons behind. So, I want to catch
kid,
up.
My kid was angry. He's like, what are they going to do? How are they going to bring it back? Because he knows how it ended before this next round. And I'm like, good question, Julie. I don't know,
bro. They'll figure it out. And then, let's see. Oh, Fowler mentioned a show on Netflix called Zom 101.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a lot of fun because it's interesting how they keep coming up with like ways to spin a zombie story. And so in this one, it doesn't really give away anything because it's kind of evolving right now. It's a weekly show on Netflix. And it's like this guy, he works a real dead-end job. He's kind of missing out on life. And then the zombie apocalypse happens. and he's fucking hyped. And the reason he's hyped is he realized he doesn't have to go to work anymore. So he's like living his best life in this apocalypse where he's like, I can fucking sleep. I can kick it. I go to a liquor store, get some beer. I'm fucking good.
Oh, this is based off of anime.
Yeah, it's an anime.
Because they have a live action version of it too, apparently.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to check that out. No, the one that I'm watching is the anime. And okay. It's fun. And then and the last piece was watched Guardians 3, finally.
Oh, what did you think of it?
That movie is fucking amazing. Like, it was great. So good. I know last time we talked, I was like, what the fuck is up with like these like movies? Why is the writing like so whack and so boring? But this one was so like so heartfelt. And especially when you learn how Rocket becomes who he is. And the fact that the movie is like about Rocket, but he's like not in the fucking movie, you know, until way later as like an active character.
I have yet to see it.
Man.
And it comes and it comes on Blu-ray like tomorrow.
So okay. Disney Plus, I think, tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw it because of Delvin's account. Shout out to Delvin's Voodoo.
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot. Yeah. Delvin gets to watch all my damn movies.
Yes. Nice, nice.
And I have a whole bunch of shit on there.
Yeah. My intention is to go run over to Best Buy at some point today and pick up a copy of the Blu-ray so I can have that. Just I love the Guardians movie. So having that in my collection sight unseen is a non-issue to me. You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to probably get it tomorrow, too, so I can start giving away all these. Because, if you're on my Patreon, every few months I give away digital codes to movies. So that'll probably be one of the ones I'll add to the list.
Yeah, it is so good. Like, just well done. Everyone's acting in there is fantastic. Really, like, it just brings it together.
They knew it was like their... They knew it was their last round with those characters. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so they really put their effort into it. And I like it. I love that James Gunn and everybody was like, all right, one last go round.
Yeah.
Let's make it count.
Yeah. And they really did set it up like we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't end like in a it does have a little corniness, a little tongue in cheek to it, but it's not like it's just not stupid, you know. The
ending
is appropriate, where it's like, yeah, this makes sense. And the way the tone of the movie is, where it is about, really is about, like, love and relationships. The way it ends, it's like, nah, this makes sense. You know, so fully, like, recommend, like, watching that movie. It is so, so good. Loved it. My wife, when we watched it, she's like, we'll see it. I was like, you do like this. She's like, I know. That movie ended. She's like, why is this, like, the top movie I've seen this year? That and the Barbie movie fucking sent her over, which then can take us over into Delvin. What are you watching, man?
Oh, well, I can talk about the first one then, since you mentioned it. I watched the Barbie movie with my daughter. We, my daughter and my son, she went dressed as like, you know, I think I told the story here. We went to go see Spider-Verse. My son dressed as Miles Morales. We went to go see Barbie. My daughter dressed as Barbie. And we enjoyed the movie. I think Barbie's a really good movie. It's a really fascinating movie. With surprisingly a lot of layers to it. I think that you can get a lot of information about it. You can learn a lot from it. I think it's a really well told story.
Nice.
And the other thing I saw, I watched the new Ninja Turtles movie. I got to see it really early.
Nice.
And I think it's excellent. I think it's really good. I love the fact that they actually went with teenagers to be the turtles.
And yeah, it feels like a lot of times they're very adultish.
Yes, not a lot of times they're played by 40-year-old men. Mm-hmm. So it's really good to see the turtles being played by teenagers, and they sound like teenagers and they act like teenagers because they are teenagers. I think that's a really cool thing to do, and it shows and it plays well in the movie because like there are scenes where they're just talking over each other and yelling and stuff when they shouldn't be yelling. You're like, oh yeah, they're acting just like how teenagers act when they're excited. And, like this kind of fits the movie. It's a really cool movie. It's beautiful in terms of how the animation and stuff and it looks. It looks like I like Spider-Verse, but it looks like a little bit in that vein. Like the background kind of looks like an art picture.
It was intentional. They did that on purpose. They wanted to have that Spider-Verse-esque look to it. So that's dope. Yeah.
I was telling my son, I think it looks more like the movie, I think it was a Netflix movie, Mitchell versus the Machines.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So, yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It looks more like that than Spider-Verse, but it still looks amazing. I highly recommend it.
It looks a little more like paper crafty.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what was the fucking, what was the movie, or not the game? The game that was like paper craft from fucking, it was on the Vita.
Tearaway.
Yes. Yeah. It's got a little more of that.
Yeah, that you kind of dealt with that. Yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. I like that they didn't go the route of, hey, the main bad guy Shredder. Like, you know, there's no Shredder in the movie. That's not a spoiler. You know, if you watch the trailer, you see who the bad guy is. Mm-hmm. It's the guy who got canceled, Ice Cube.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I mean, it's like,
how do you I'm canceled, but here I am starring in a summer blockbuster. I'm so canceled. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a bunch of characters that like so many people love, but sure.
Canceled. Used to be beautiful.
Wait, does that mean T's gonna start eating pork now? Because Ice Cube's wrong.
No, but I did have a double cheeseburger the other day for the first time in a very long time. I was like, I don't miss it.
Yeah, it's fine. Let's see. Let's jump into as we kind of bring things home. We start to land this plane.
Hold on.
You did I miss me?
I watch shit, my guy.
Damn. I needed to check myself before I wreck myself.
I hate you so much. You motherfucker. Yeah, all right. Star Trek, Strange New Worlds. If you're not watching it, if you're a Trek fan, I know you are watching it, but if you're not watching it, it is amazing. But this second to most recent episode, because they actually released it early, was the crossover episode between Star Trek Strange New Worlds and Star Trek Lower Decks. Lower Decks is a cartoon. Star Trek Strange New Worlds is a live action show.
How do they do that?
In amazing fashion.
Let me ask you this before you continue on the show. So I'm not a Star Trek person. It's just, I don't think it's bad. It never clicked with me. But is it a series, or are they just like anthology? Like they stand alone?
Strange New Worlds is a series, but it's basically Monster of the Week type shit.
Okay, because I've seen like some commercials, and it number one, it doesn't feel like Star Trek.
Yep.
And it's in, and which has got me really intrigued, because the commercials I saw was like, oh, this feels a little more Twilight Zone-y. Like, or like you said, like Monster of the Week, it's like, it's way different.
Yeah.
That I was like, I need to peep this show.
Bruh. They took that show, crossed it over with Lower Decks, which is amazing. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's a cartoon. Lower Decks, you can probably get caught up on that in a move. Mm-hmm. And it was so good. And as always, your boy Sensitive ST, it got to a part toward the end, and it was so wonderful. And it literally almost made me cry. And I was just like, I love TV. I love well done and well written mm-hmm. TV. And the Star Trek universe, they have really tightened it up on Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
They got
it's really good.
They got somebody in control of everything, so like the lore is kind of handled real well and so forth, and
it curated properly.
It has finally gotten that, you know what I'm saying? And even stuff like, so like on this episode they talk about Archer's Enterprise, which is from the show Enterprise, which a lot of people hate it,
mm-hmm.
but it's still a part of their canon, and they show love to it, and I love that. Let's see, After Party on Apple Plus is back. And I was about to sit and start watching season two, and my lady was sitting next to me, and I was like, you can't watch this without seeing season one, so let's just start from the beginning. So I watched all of season one, and I ran into season two, and that show was great.
So what's After Party?
After Party is a murder mystery starring Sam Richardson and what is her name? Chloe Zhao, I believe. Anyway, fantastic. First season, they are attending an after party after their high school reunion. And the host of that party is murdered.
Oh,
and
he got
to figure out how. And Tiffany Haddish plays the detective and so forth and so on. And it's really, really good. And it's a great whodunit. And the second season is just as good a whodunit. Can't wait to see where it goes. It's a comedy. But, you know, again, there's some mystery baked in there. And it's so good.
Yeah, I know season two came out. And that was one of those shows where, like, I watched, I think, the first two episodes of season one, really enjoyed it, and something else came on, and then I forgot. So I want to go back and restart it. Yeah. The same goes because I left it off of here, is I finally finished watching Loot, the Maya Rudolph show.
That show is so good, man.
Okay, so when I first watched it, I just watched episode one. I absolutely hated it. I just didn't like what the characters were. I think it was just more me than anything else, because I was like, I don't want to watch another show about a rich motherfucker who learns about themselves. Like, yeah. And it plays down.
Yeah.
When I got to the latter episodes, it becomes less of, because I even told my wife, I was like, yeah, it's going to be one of those shows. She finds herself. They learn about themselves. Big whoop. But then when the characters start to develop, like the relationship between Ron Funches and his like...
Bo and Yang.
Yeah. Like when he gives him the fucking, the Dragon Ball character, and it's like, this is the best, like, man, that's a certain type of love language.
Yeah.
And so it's just when those characters, when the sub story started to develop, I was like, oh, this show is well done. This is
Apple TV constantly surprises me with its work, and more people should be watching Apple TV. I'm telling you, they got so much money. Apple got like $10 trillion market cap. I mean, $1 trillion market cap, meaning they got money to blow, and they just do, and they blow it on their TVs, on their TV shows, and it's amazing. This fool, Charlie just talked about it. He said he watched what, 2 episodes?
Yeah,
all of it. I'm done, and it was so worth it. It's so worth it.
Yeah, no, I know. And I'm also piecing it out, because when the first season came, I burned through that bitch so fast that I was like, why did I watch it so quick? Because now it's done. So I was like, I gotta piece it out. So I'm like, a little bit of this fool, a little bit of Futurama. And that's how I'm gonna balance it out.
Bro, because I didn't expect to have a season 2, it was just a gift.
Yeah.
It was a gift. And I was like,
they didn't know they were gonna have a, they were like, we'll see what happens. Maybe it gets picked up. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'm hoping we get end up with a third season, but with this writers and producers and I mean writers and actors strike, I don't even know where this shit gonna head. For a lot of things that I really appreciate and enjoy. Mm-hmm. And like Devin mentioned, Rise of the Beast is available on Paramount Plus already.
Yeah.
That new Transformers movie. And I'm a real snooty ass, snobby ass Transformers fan, bro. I don't fuck around. I hate Beast Wars.
Right.
Me too.
But in this circumstance, damn good.
Pretty good. It's pretty good.
That's what I keep hearing. I hear that it's surprisingly good. It's kind of like how the Bumblebee movie was like solid.
Well, this is part 2 of that is a new series started with Bumblebee. This is the next one in that line.
Yeah, works. I gotta check it out. So knowing it's on Delvin's Paramount, I'll watch it.
starts in 94. All kinds of dope hip hop from 94.
I was just gonna say that.
And then of course they play Hypnotize, which came out in 97. I'm like, what were you doing there?
Yeah.
Who was your music supervisor that let that thing slide under? It's real upsetting, actually. But that's it, man. I wanted to make sure I shared that with y'all. You know what I'm saying? So I'll pass it back to you, Chalky, man. Keep it moving, bruv.
But there was something just to say, like, catching things that are wrong. I don't know where we were watching the other night, but it was something that was taking place, like, in the mid-80s.
Yeah.
And you know how Starbucks has their tumblers, and they're, like, bright pink or bright blue? And the person was drinking from, like, a cup like that, and I was like, those did not exist in like absolutely didn't. Yeah, we had a lot of neon, we had a lot, but that type, no, we were not walking around with like the fucking what are they called, like the security flasks and shit like that. We were walking around with water. We were still drinking full sugar and from the hose. Like there was no like carrying a water bottle. That was not a thing. So anyways, last piece. What you spinning? What you guys playing? What you listening to?
You want to go first, T? Or will we go first?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So on the vinyl side, Kamal the Abstract was Invite Me Please, this July record of the month. And it's not just that it's the, you know, Kamal the Abstract finally available on vinyl in America. It's the original 2001 version that basically was bootlegged everywhere because his label decided they didn't want to release it. It ended up getting released eventually in 2009, but there's some variations, some differences. So it was the version I knew and listened to that I got off of OKPlayer.com back in the day. And I love that I possess that on a lovely... That's right,
you're OKPlayer OG.
I am, charter member.
That's what I'm saying.
And I love that I got that record. It's on this beautiful tricolor vinyl, black, yellow, and white vinyl. Feel free to go follow The Vinyl Crown over on Instagram, and you can watch where I try to you know, collect my records up. In photos, you know what I'm saying, over there. And like I was just telling these guys when we got started, man, this is brand new. This just happened tonight. So if you don't like it, you can forgive me. This is just something Spotify served up to me. Homegrown Cartoons is the name of the group. Homegrown is the name of the album. Came out last year, apparently. It's really, really good.
All right.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I don't even know what to call it. Jazzy, hip hoppy. I don't know. It's got some things going to it. Funky. It's just, I'm very impressed by it. So get down with that.
Yeah, I need to re up with the VMP because there's two Strokes albums they have right now that I'm like, I need to get those. And the cost of those is like, well, I might as well just do the subscription for a little bit and then be all right.
I signed up, I'm going to be signed up for the next 3 months because this month or last month, however you wish to look at it, is with this. This will come out in August, was the Kamari Abstract. Next month is an Atmosphere album that I don't care for, but they have East 99 Eternal by
Bone Thugs. I was just about to say that. They got the Bone Thugs.
Their main catalog's record of the month. So I just swapped out for that. And then in September, my birthday month, mind you, they got Aesop Rock's Nuncio Pass on a beautiful vinyl. I'm like, yeah, I'm getting that. Also that month is Skeletron's 10-year anniversary release is coming out, by Aesop Rock. And so I'm going to have a lot of vinyl popping around September, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. That's dope. What about you, Delvin?
Only thing I've really been listening to, I pre-ordered the vinyl for, was Magic 2.
What do you think?
I enjoyed it. I think people for the most part, I'm hearing positive things about it, except that one song that people keep trying to dwell on.
Which one?
People apparently don't like 50 Cent's verse.
I liked 50 Cent's verse.
I did too. I thought it was dope.
Fuck out of here.
People are complaining because they say it's too short, but I thought it was really dope.
It is wildly short. It is. It does not. It feel like 8 bars and not 16.
So they're not saying it's whack. They're just like,
no, they're saying it's whack too. They're saying it's whack.
Like, no.
Disagree. Fully disagree. I think it is far too brief, but it's a very good bar.
I do too. I think it was great. I think it's people got to realize 50 ain't rapping a minute. 50 don't have to rap no more. he's making money. He's making TV shows. So
he's like, I have an entertainment empire. The fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. But hearing 50 and Nas on a song again was really cool. For those who don't know, like, they did a song again way back in the day when 50 was just coming up in the game, the song Too Hot. They did a couple of songs together back in the day. So hearing them back on record together was pretty cool. And I really thoroughly enjoyed the Nas album.
I think it's Queens Bridge and Southside Queens coming together on a vinyl, on a track, you know what I'm saying? That's dope.
It was dope.
I'm just looking at that fucking, that Bone Thugs. Man, that vinyl was beautiful.
I own a copy of that record already from a record store they released, but a lot of people say how shabby it is sound-wise, which I've never noticed. But I was like, I get this vinyl piece pressing of it because they do make high-quality pressings of their stuff.
Because I was going to say, just the density of their albums is like, this shit is nice. Yeah, I got a question for the both of you. I'm going to go to Delvin first because you were talking about Magic, which made me think of when you're growing up in like Miami. Because I don't know why this popped into my head recently, but what was it like in like those like late 80s, early 90s with like DJ Magic Mike, like the bass that ain't Miami? Like, do you remember that? Was like, were people super into it, or was that just like a still low key type of thing?
I don't remember it too much because I remember growing up, I remember a lot of people was into, Uncle Luke was really big down here in the late 80s, early 90s, I guess mid 90s too, for that matter. You know, Poison Clan was huge down
here. Oh, shit. Forgot about Poison Clan. Damn.
Poison Clan was huge. Mother Superior, of course, was a big deal down here at the time. For those people who liked the more deeper hip hop, underground hip hop, that was a thing. I'm trying to think of other things that people I remember. JT Money.
Okay.
JT Money. JT Money was pretty big down here. Uncle Al DJs was a staple in Miami for quite a long time. Those are the things that come to my mind immediately when I think of like the 80s, 90s.
Because I remember just out here, what was hot was like the fucking mini trucks or like the slammed like VWs and shit and just like big fucking bass.
So
it was just like when you just had... I mean, Uncle Luke, 2 Live, they had the sound, but then if you wanted that real, like, just not a lot of lyrics and just beats, fuck, man. I remember when my uncle came through with the DJ Magic Mike album, and as I was going to say, the first one was The Bass That Ate Miami, and it was just like, boom, boom. I was like, what the fuck? So good. Like, just
I want to say it's Feel the Bass Part 3 is the one that I'm like, I still love to this day.
Cause that's the one that does the even the like bing 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 bass. Like, fuck, dude.
Yeah, yeah. How low can you go, nigga?
It was just the mixing in there, man. And you just like, yeah, it was like when the bass hits but like moves your skin.
Yes. Your whole chest be rattling. You're like, what is happening here?
Yeah, like, oh man, got me fucked up.
I'm about to play this in my headphones right quick, see if I can hear it.
I got a random one for you that I've been thinking about lately. I've been meaning to text you, but I keep forgetting. When you listen to your records, do you keep the record player cover on or off?
Off.
Why?
It's what I've always done. I leave it open.
Yes, I was.
Oddly enough, it's closed right now to keep the dust off my record. But when I'm spinning it, you know, I'm spinning it.
Because it was like one of those. It was a TikTok that was like. One, TikTok always tells you everything you're doing wrong. Like, you're eating noodles wrong. You're washing your clothes wrong. You scrub your balls wrong. Like, everything's wrong. And so it was like, you're listening to vinyl wrong. You should never close the thing because it causes more vibration or something. I was like, does it? And then opening it up, you see, I tend to close it because I can hear
the needle.
But not the needle scratch, but the sound from
the needle. Yeah, I know.
And I don't like that. Like, I like it. So because it's like I'm hearing two sounds.
Yeah.
And I want to hear the one sound. So I close it and it's like, boom, gone. So it's now isolated. But it was just like, oh, it makes it vibrate and jump. I was like, then you got a whack record player, man. that's what that problem sounds like.
But hold on. You study, you know, turntablism. You know what it is. You don't have covers on them techniques. They're open.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you play records open.
Yeah, because it's the manipulation. But I was just wondering if it was one of those things where you're like, yeah, no duh, because of the vibrations and the blah blah blah. Because
I was like, I think it's just they just be saying thing. Shit.
I'll leave it open, and that's because at some point I'm gonna walk over there and flip the record or whatever. So. Yeah,
if I'm close by, I close it because, like I said, I want that dual sound. I don't want to hear it. But if I'm then playing something else, then I leave it open.
How interesting.
Let's see, on my end, one rock band I really, really enjoy is called Idols. And man, sometimes the internet gets me. And it was just like the perfect moment. I open up Instagram and immediately it was Idols. We're running a certain amount of copies of Joy on red vinyl. Order it. And I was like, yes, done. It is on the most beautiful red. Like, oh man, it looks nice. And then I think I told you I changed the mat to that like white ceramic.
Yeah.
So the colors fucking pop, it's popping. Pop, pop, pop. Like, it doesn't mute them. So that shit looks beautiful. And then, you know, I have you guys know I like Paris, Texas. So they put something out recently that was like their kind of unofficial first full length was Boy Anonymous. They're like, it's coming out, it's on blue vinyl. And I didn't really pay attention. I was like, yeah, I'll buy Boy Anonymous. And I was like, damn, I really wish they would have put out Red Handed Kimbo, which is their EP. And that one's really super good. What I didn't realize was that Boy Anonymous on side A, Red Handed Kimbo is side B. And it's on a blue that's like that Vince Staples, like fucking creepy blue. There's a little more Dodger blue on this one. But it's fucking beautiful too. So I was stoked because then it was like a surprise where it was like, oh, it's both albums. So I was like, I was happy on that. I was really, really happy. And then at that, Paris, Texas just came out with their new album. So, you know, give it a listen. It's a good album. I really, really enjoy it. So just, you know, I'm out here. Next time we come around, I'm going to run through the list of concerts I've been going through. Because let me tell you, between September and October, between actually Wednesday to October, I'm gonna be hitting up like maybe like 12 different concerts. I'm packing them in. So tomorrow on Wednesday, Gavin and I are gonna go see Baby Goyard. I was super stoked. Danny Brown and JPEG Mafia, they're doing their Scaring the Hoes. There was no LA date. It was kind of just like a Midwest East Coast type of tour, and they're doing one. So I was just like, let me get those two. So I got a lot of stuff coming up, but you know, it's been good. And then just as we wrap up, you know, I just want to give a huge shout out to T and to Delvin just for being good homies. You know, you got to check in with your people and you got to have your people that check in on you. And man, you know, summertime's like always really hard, but the last like year or two has just been like fucking kicking my ass, like in a really, really big, bad way. And so, you know, I did reach out to them, was just like, listen, man, I'm fucking struggling big time here. So to have people like in your corner and just really like taking a minute to like, listen is like, it's a beautiful thing. So I hope that anyone listening has friends like these guys who will take time out of the day to check in on you or to just even give an ear when you need one, man, is like always the best. So if you're thinking about someone right now, or you're just like, man, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. What does it take? Like 3 seconds to send a text? Just fucking send it. Even if it is as simple as, man, it was new. Just send it. Because you never know what's going to happen on the back end. And then on one last one, on super sad news, man, RIP to Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman. Damn. Oh, yeah. That, when I found out about that one, was it T who shared it? That shit hurt. Because that was like, and even for my wife, she was like, I think I'm like legit crying about this. And I was like, this guy, for anyone who grew up as, you know, Gen X, like really kind of shifted and broke our mindsets a little. It was so fucking weird. And then we saw from Pee-wee's Playhouse to his movies to, if you ever saw his stand-up comedy, his shit was blue. So it was like just different. And then we saw him sort of fall from grace in a sense, but then come back. And it's like, you know, you saw him get to actually act and change. It was like really, really nice. I wish in the latter years, you know, he would have gotten more recognition, more opportunities. But just for someone who was so big on the young minds, like, man, it's going to be missed.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. RIP.
Definitely.
I, a couple years ago, showed my kids Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely loved the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so it's timeless. Super timeless. Still
holds up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember one of the highlights for me was going down to the Santa Monica Promenade, and it was like the bike shop and everything where like he got his bike stolen, and it was like, this is where the bike was. This is fucking stole his bike right here. You know, so that shit was like really cool.
Such a great movie.
Nah, it definitely is. But to kind of bring it on home, man, you know, T, Delvin, thank you very much for joining. For the listeners, thank you for listening. We out of here. Peace.
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 Mama. Mama.
What? Grandma's not here.